Yeah, accelerationism. So the other, this is a concept I think this course would be incomplete if we had not spent a little bit of time on accelerationism. This is something encapsulated, I think, by Nick Land, one of the people we have talked about from time to time over the course of the semester. Accelerationism is something I think that we see constantly expressed in the politics of the United States federal government at the moment, but also in some of the expressions in Cinderella's book Politogram and the post left. Also in Hayek's Bastards, that book as well. So we see a little bit of a rejection of restraint or stability, the rejection of these values in favor of something that says, let's just speed everything up. Let's see what happens when we push X or Y to the limit. And there's a little bit, there's a guy named Peter Schumpeter, Joseph Schumpeter from the early 20th century who, wrote about this idea of creative disruption, which has been a little bit of the energy behind, cultural neoliberalism and, also, kind of corporate business culture reform throughout the 1980s, 90s, 2000s. It's very anti-regulation. It's very it favors a kind of activity or agentive intervention, which says, let's just move fast and break things. Let's just see what happens if we take apart these kind of traditional stodgy formats of I don't know, manufacture, innovation, research, management, etc., and just like throw it all up, do a bunch of kind of splatter paint experiments and see what happens. Maybe we'll come up with something better than what we have. So accelerationism is a word for that. And there's leftist accelerationists, rightist accelerationists. Leftist accelerationists, as you'll see in the piece that we're reading for today, would be the idea. So Marxism, Marxian theory of economics, is essentially what we would call a Hegelian historiography, a materialist history, which suggests that forms of economics supersede one another. So we get feudalism, that is superseded by capitalism, which will be superseded by socialism, which will be superseded by communism. And so a leftist might say, and this is relatively consistent, is let's just speed up capitalism. Let's get it over with. If it's going to hurt, it's going to hurt. And so let's push all of our systems to the max and see if we can get the bad experiences over with, so that we can supersede capitalism, get to socialism. So Nick Land talks about blockchains, drone logistics, nanotechnologies, quantum computing, computational genomics, virtual reality, drenched in ever higher densities of artificial intelligence. And so what Land is suggesting is that accelerationists say, you know, let's throw open the floodgates, you know, more, let's do more and more intense inversions of this. Let's take off all of the guardrails. Let's take off all of the regulations, all of the protections, all of the government oversight, and just let late capitalism be late capitalism as fast as possible. Is going to cause a bunch of damage to people, to the planet, etc. And then, you know, it'll be done faster, and then we'll make our way into a new world of socialism and eventually communism. So that would be the leftist Marxist approach to accelerationism, is let's just push this broken system to the max and get it over with, and deal with the destruction and then rebuild. Now, why? And of course, a lot of this kind of sentiment is expressed in the Instagram posts of the 12 to 17 year olds who Josh Citarella wrote about in his book Politigram and the Post Left, where, you know, a feeling of doom and dread and hopelessness, whether about climate disaster or anything else, may be leading people to think that the best thing to do is to, you know, put the pedal to the metal, to kind of gun the system and to push it as far as it can go, because things can't be as bad. Things can't get worse than they already are. Now, I think that's a pretty short-sighted way of thinking. I think things can get a lot worse than they already are, and that sometimes there is a lack of foresight about this. So some of this reckless investment in accelerationism as a means towards social justice or a more just world, I don't know. I find that somewhat borderline irrational. But that's just me. A right-wing accelerationism would be something along the lines of heading towards... we're heading towards a new world order, and the new world order is governance where states and countries are more or less governed by executives, by CEOs. This goes back to Carl Schmitt, the kind of decisionism, the investment in the Caesar, you know, the powerful, supreme transhuman leader who has extraordinary talent in decision making. This is most definitely embodied by Donald Trump at the moment. And that the best way to get us to that type of new world order, countries run by CEOs, basically, is to accelerate the dissolution, the diminishment of state administration. So if you look to the United States with the kind of hollowing out of the Department of Justice, that is an accelerationist movement. And so I frequently see what I believe to be misinterpretations of U.S. federal government actions at the moment based on the idea that, oh my gosh, how does this make sense? How does this decision make sense? Why is this person choosing to hurt these people? Why is this person choosing to do this completely irrational thing? Et cetera. So a lot of hand-wringing about policies and practices that seem to be indefensible. The thing is, the indefensibility of it is the point. That is accelerationism. That is right-wing accelerationism saying, look, we want to demonstrate to you and everyone as fast as possible how useless government is, how useless having an administrative state, a bureaucracy is. Well, remember back to the beginning of the course where we read Pat Buchanan as one of these kind of figures since the 1950s who thought the Washington elite were a corrupt kind of liberal New England hoity-toity, snotty conspiracy. And so the best thing you could do is to kind of hollow out the Washington establishment from within. And so accelerationism from a right-wing perspective might, or a paleoconservative perspective, neoconservative perspective, well, not yet, paleoconservative perspective or a new right perspective would say, let's accelerate the destitution of state institutions and bureaucracies. Let's make everyone as incompetent as possible so that no one has confidence anymore in any level of government, and that this will hasten the advent of a new order where people, you know, no longer believe in democracy as a system that represents actual people's actual experiences or values. And so that can be pretty easily replaced with an authoritarian executive. So that's a version of accelerationism as well. So you know, I would encourage all of us. We also have the fact that over the past 20 years, all of us have been encouraged to become more productive from every fiscal year to the next year, that we're supposed to be 10% more productive than we were last year. We are always in positions to almost be reapplying for our own jobs, trying to persuade our employers and our supervisors that we should not be replaced by somebody else, that we're not redundant. And so we end up racing frantically and multitasking at our jobs, whatever they are. And so there has been this focus over the last 25 years of cultural and workplace neoliberalism to focus on speed and frenetic pace. Just think of, the Amazon warehouse culture, where you have to move so many pieces per minute in order to kind of retain your job. And so this culture of speed is also playing into accelerationism, where we've become exhausted from overwork and from the stress of it, and we want to somehow, just out of a feeling of oblivion, see if we can drive the system to its complete destruction. Or we've gotten really good at acceleration and at a culture of fastness, and that we are almost haunted by the idea of slowing down or of having a culture of, I don't know, serenity or peace or ease or leisure or any of these things. And so we become very, very good at advocating and embodying a culture of acceleration and accelerationism. So I think a number of these are different kinds of dimensions that are playing into this this movement, this tempting, alluring movement of either leftist accelerationism or rightist accelerationism or something else entirely. And then, of course, there's going to be cross-pollinations between accelerationism and the male tribalism thing as well. So the kind of life energy that is being chased through both of these movements, the kind of fast and furious nature of a certain vision of masculinity and a certain vision of acceleration, fast cars, fast living, and also in some ways dying young, I'm not sure what the idiom is, but something about live fast, die young. So if there's in some ways a romanticization of the idea that we are going to live short lives, and that they should be racy and that they should be, full of adventure, et cetera, because we're not going to survive very long, then we're again in the territory of climate dread, dread of near-term extinction, things like that. And so I think we want to be aware of some of those emotional and psychic and spiritual dynamics as well as we think of things like accelerationism. Okay, so that's enough on accelerationism, I think. And I think for the last week of the class, we'll do more of that, kind of tying everything together. How does it all fit together? What does it mean? What do we want to study from here on in?